All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Friday, September 16th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis,
who's finally stopped chewing so we can start the podcast. We're from Daily.
How dare you bring our public private affairs into public like that?
We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com or DFSR.com for short. Here to help you build lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. If you head over to the site, there's still time to grab hold of those projections and one-touch click optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings through powered by Lineup Lab. That'll help you grab those optimal lineups, and that subscription also includes our NFL projections with optimal lineups for those sites. And in addition, it has our Player Lab, which helps you filter for a bunch of different criteria in NFL. That's $29.95 a month for all that under one umbrella. We think we're probably one of the most competitive price points in the whole industry, so go on and check that out. And if you really want to just see how we put these things together, we have a bunch of free content on the site every day that lays out some of our process, some of our key plays, and that's all free, so head over to DFSR.com and you can check that out. Buddy, full Friday of baseball today.
Yeah.
We coming off a day, had Cueto go complete game last night, which was nice. Had a couple other plays in there. Turned out to be a pretty nice night, all things considered. Today's a new day, and let's get it going. Where are we looking when it comes to pitching today? I mean, it seems to me like we have one standout play, but maybe you and I differ on that.
I don't think so. I mean, there's a few good pitchers going today, but Scherzer, with the combination of both just what he's done this season and a fantastic matchup, good park with Atlanta. It's going to be hard to imagine playing anyone else in cash games for me. How about you?
No, I think it's going to be Scherzer. I think what we're going to hear from different, you know, we have people in the chat room that are talking baseball and football, mostly baseball at this point, 24 hours a day. That's also free on the front page of the site. You'll see that pop up when you go over. But what people are, I 100% know is going to, the pushback to Scherzer will be something along the lines of, well, either A, Scherzer screwed me before, which, okay, let's wipe that one right off the bat as a nonsensical thing. But I think the other one will be Atlanta's a much improved team. They don't maybe strike out a ton in their current form. And, you know, they've knocked around some good pitchers of late. They got to Jose Fernandez the other day. And I think that's what some of the anti-Scherzer talk will be. Does that any of that like kind of jump into your mind at all, or are you willing to just look past that stuff?
Well, I'm also going to dip into my inner chatter and point out that he's had two starts against Atlanta in his last six starts, and both of those were, you know, not fantastic for him. So 7 innings, 5 Ks, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, and 6 innings, 6 Ks, 3 walks, 4 earned runs. And then I'll go ahead and point out that he's still average scoring 39 fantasy points in those two games, which is only 2 points below what we have him projected for today. Right. And those were his lowest starts in that stretch. Yeah. So I don't think you can worry too much about it. I mean, Scherzer is just, he's one of those, even if he misses, he can't miss sort of guys. Like, he can have a bad game here and there, but the K stuff is just so elite that it's hard for him to be terrible. And the other thing is, who do you want to play in his place? You know, it's not just this is, I think, a problem people run into with baseball a lot of times, just with fantasy sports in general, is you have a guy you don't want to play, and then you get so obsessed with not wanting to play that guy that you don't even make the cases against the other guys that you want to choose
right.
between. So I don't see any credible argument for not playing Scherzer today, although it's probably worthwhile to at least go into some of these other guys. It's just not, I'll be surprised if there's a convincing argument to the contrary.
Well, on FanDuel, it's very easy for me. 11,000 for him, especially at this time of the season where we have a lot of call-ups that are coming into the lineups that are coming cheap at times. Fitting the 11,000 on FanDuel is really not an issue at all. You just need, at this point, you probably just need, and that's fitting 11,000 and some Coors bats, which we'll get to later. So I don't think you're really worried about his salary there at all. On DraftKings, it's a little different story. 13.7, so pushing that 14,000 mark, that is actually getting up there into the maybe we can fade it territory, because he's just not Kershaw. Like, okay, he's not like peak Kershaw, which we'll all compare to another player that it has sort of shown up in that salary range that we've talked about, and you know, kind of hemmed and hawed about whether to play a guy like Clayton in there. Scherzer to me is not that same level of kind of just go out there and just mow people down for 7.5 to 8 innings on like clockwork. So I think actually there's a case to be made to get away from him, but it's still going to probably be close. If there's a few cheap bats that come in, it'll be really close. Yeah, but like you said, the problem is that the drop down from him to the next group, I'll call Kluber, Sale, not really Felix, but maybe Cole Hamels, sort of, and Archer. I don't know. All those guys all playing, all going in the American League, all with much worse money lines, all with much worse implied runs against. I just don't know if any of them, I don't think any of them have a better implied projected total than Scherzer, by a lot, maybe.
Well, right. I mean, Kluber's got Detroit, so just a flat, bad matchup. Sale's got the Royals, who we talked a little bit about yesterday, but, you know, maybe not a terrible matchup, but not a pushover. And let's see, Felix has Houston, not a terrific matchup, and Archer has Baltimore in Baltimore. So that's not great either. So, I mean, Felix is a guy, like, we'll talk about him regarding DraftKings in a second, but I don't love any of these other guys. I will point out that on DraftKings, it is fairly close in our optimal lineup. Like, if you lock Scherzer in, you're only a point off the top overall lineup, so 1 point on 116 total points, less than a 1% change. And if you think that the safety is worth paying up for, you know, especially on a site where you have to throw two pitchers out there anyway, I don't mind it.
Well, so right now the lineup has Felix in there, and actually we'll talk about him next, because he's a guy the system likes at 8,000, but there's some pretty convincing evidence at this point that he's just not the guy that we probably have outwardly projected in terms of just some of the K stuff and just what he's been doing of late. Like, if you look at his recent game logs, the strikeouts have pretty much just disappeared. And, you know, you look at this 2, 3, 3, 5, and then you have to go all the way back to middle of August before you have him back in that, like, sort of decent range of 8, you know, a strikeout an inning. That drop off. Now, I know some of those teams, like the Rangers twice and the A's once, and those teams aren't hugely strikeout heavy, but still, I mean, this is Hernandez. He's going 6 innings, 5 innings, 4 innings. There's some, I have concerns here. There's concerns to me that we're probably a little bullish on his strikeout per nine rate, and we might just even be bullish on his innings because there could just be something wrong with him. I'm not really, or he's just not the same guy. Like, I don't know. What do you think when you look at Felix?
It's really hard to say. I mean, on one hand, I don't want to get carried away based on four starts, you know, two of which were in quite a bad matchup for him. Three of the four of those are all on the road, too, and today's game is at home. So, you know, it's really hard to know with pitchers who the real pitcher is sometimes. I mean, obviously, just the peripherals overall this season have been pretty underwhelming. And, you know, my initial counter was going to be, you know, if you looked at the five starts previous to these four, you would see a guy who was in the K per inning range. But then if you go to the starts before those, he was bad again. So I think there's definitely merit to the argument that, you know, one way or the other, he's not quite the same pitcher he was last year. And so don't get me wrong, I buy that. The question is, what do you really need from him on DraftKings to make it worth it, right? So he's only 8,000, you know, even in that fairly bad start against the White Sox, he paid 22 fantasy points. The last two starts, really, like, the only killer was the one where those two Texas starts. You know, those were quite bad starts. Other than those two, he's been fine from a fantasy perspective.
Well, right now we have him at 6.5 innings and 6.3 strikeouts. If you were,
take the under on
exactly
both of those,
right,
probably.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So if we're, I think we both pretty much totally. I mean, again, we set a base set of projections pretty early in the morning, and then we go back and audit it throughout the day. This is something that we will definitely audit. So when both of us say no, that's just strikes us both as too high, and some of the recent or even just season long metrics are going to back up that it's too high. That's something we'll go down and adjust, and then all of a sudden you're looking at Scherzer in probably kind of across the board. And one of the reasons you can do that is that Luke Weaver is still coming pretty cheap on DraftKings. It's funny,
wildly cheap on DraftKings,
right? 5,200, great ballpark. The Giants aren't a great. I can't remember a time really that I've rostered a pitcher against the Giants this year. I'm sure it maybe has happened, but I just don't know it off the top of my head because they just don't strike out a lot. They're not like a great, great team, but they're just not a team that you can just roll through their order like clockwork. So, but Weaver at 5,200, is he the guy? Like, are we just kind of, if we were setting the lineups right now, will we just lock in Weaver and Scherzer together on DraftKings and call it a day?
I would definitely lock in Weaver. I think no matter who your other starting pitcher is, he really opens up so much salary possibilities elsewhere, and he's just been good. Like, what else do you want from a guy? I mean, we would be considering him at a 20% higher salary, probably. I mean, he's been solidly a K per inning guy.
He's 11K. He's 11K per nine. Right.
Well, I'm saying solidly, as in like you can't. You like if it were 8.4, you'd be like, hey, he's kind of a K per inning guy, right? But no, he's like. been easily surpassing that stuff. Always hesitate to try to label a guy as anything based on six major league starts, but with Weaver, the evidence I think is pretty convincing. I mean, yeah, two of those starts were against Milwaukee, and that was 18 strikeouts in 12 innings. But even against at Pittsburgh, you know, Oakland, these are teams that are tougher to strike out than Milwaukee is, and he's been solid. And again, the prices, you're really getting away with something on Weaver. Like, that's the test for me a lot recently is, like, you know, if he has his best start, will I have really gotten away with something? So, like, with Felix, maybe you don't think so, right? Because you're like, if he has his best start, like, I'm probably just still competitive, and easily other guys could have their best starts, and I won't really be up much. But, like, Weaver and Felix might have the same ceiling today, and you're paying $3,000 less. So he's a clear pitcher number two for me. It's really over a tug-of-war over who slides into that top spot. I just suspect, as you suggest, that Scherzer will wind up being there for me. So, and the other thing about Weaver, obviously, is that he just opens up the door to play good bats too. And with the big Coors Day, where our system is very bullish on what's going to happen there, that's definitely something I'm interested in.
Right. In the end, you only roster, you know, 18-9 in salary for those two guys. And you know, that's rostering two above tier pitcher, you know, above middle tier pitchers kind of together. And so I suspect that now that I look at it more closely, I think that's probably just ends up be the chalk play for DraftKings, or at least among the people that have used projection systems.
Weaver's not sneaking up on anybody at this point. We played him last time around, and you know, he was already sort of a known commodity, and then he helped everyone and his price didn't go up. So it's hard to imagine him not being in there again.
It's really rare for DraftKings. DraftKings' algorithm for pricing is much tighter than FanDuel's. I mean, well, they're just better at even like having players in the player pool than FanDuel. Like
hold on a second. Were you going to just say algo, like as in like your slang term?
No, you know
algorithm?
What? I tried to like correct myself. I tried to correct myself.
So foolish.
I know. I tried to correct myself. Because I realized it sounds so douchey, and then but it was already too late. And you know what? I'm not even going to take it out because I'm a man of my word, and I want to keep it honest. And I'm also honest about just feeling like a total stain by even saying it like that. Because I really want to believe that that's the first time I've ever said that out loud. Well, it's definitely the first time I've ever said it out loud to you, because I never would have said it again based on that reaction I just got. So 100% that is the first time that has ever come out of my mouth like that to you, because again, I never would have made the same mistake twice. So
you're a new listener to DFSR, we apologize. We're not actually complete douches who think we know everything.
So the way DraftKings is just much tighter with these pricings. They don't make the same mistakes that FanDuel, or let me rephrase. I don't think FanDuel makes mistakes. I just don't think that they are incentivized to correct as quickly, because that's just not their game. They have, you know, they have one less roster spot for baseball. The pricing doesn't matter as much as it does on DraftKings. But the thing with Weaver is at what point is the price going to come up to 7,000? I'm just not totally sure. After those two guys, and we touched on Felix, is there anything else to see for pitchers? I hate to just call it a three, but some of these pitchers just have, outside of just tournaments where, you know, look, in a tournament, guys like Kluber and Sale, even Hamels, and even Archer, all these guys have pretty high K upside on a given on one given start. So I want to preface this by saying I think all of those guys are totally in play for a tournament, because every single one of them, maybe a little less on Hamels, but every single one of them has the upside to hit double digit strikeouts. It's just not totally likely in the matchups that they have right now, but for cash, can you consider any of these other guys? With the caveat that being that, look, for tournaments, it's kind of, you know, you can pick your poison and kind of roll with it.
Yeah, I mean, the short answer for me is not really. I don't really have any interest in playing those guys in cash games. I think that they're not all created equal for big tournaments, though. And a guy I'm highlighting, I think, is going to be Chris Sale. Sale is interesting because, yeah, he doesn't have a terrific matchup, but a lot of that matchup is based on the money line, and it's something I've touched on before. But the win is a binary thing, right? And if he just goes and gets the win, well, then you're starting with 12 points. And in a big tournament, you know, you need so much to go right and to win a big tournament, like guys hitting home runs. Hitting a home run is infinitely more likely than getting a win on any given – or I'm sorry, the opposite is true. Getting a win is infinitely more likely than hitting a home run on any given day. So when I'm picking pitchers, I'm just going to assume they get the win for my big tournament purposes and then see what the overall line would look like after that. So I actually – you know, and the users fortunately don't have the benefit of doing this, but I actually just throw out the win projection altogether when I'm projecting for big tournaments. and only use the innings multiplier as a way to try to determine how likely a guy is to get a win. And even then, you know, again, you just need five innings and your team to score some runs for you. So given that getting a win is much easier than getting a home run and they're both about as valuable, I just look at the Ks. Sale has been in a league of his own, frankly, in the last four starts in this regard. Five starts. He's got, first of all, averaged more than eight innings per start in that stretch and double-digit strikeouts twice and nearly a strikeout per inning in the other three starts. So, yeah, Sale is definitely a huge, huge upside monster here.
That's a really great point you made about knocking out the win, because I'm without looking at it right away here, because it's kind of all baked into one projection, but if we were to backtrace some of this through the system and the inputs, I have a feeling that if you took away the expected win shares that we have for a guy like Scherzer, like, so right, Scherzer we have somewhere like in the 0.46 range, but Sale, these guys are 15% lower than, they're 15% lower in that one category than Scherzer, and so if you knock it out, their projections actually probably all come in right in the same range. And yeah, that's probably the thing that you really want to look at most when you're rostering these guys for tournaments, because, and rightfully so, the money line does play a major part in projections, because you need to figure out what that win is worth. Like, you don't need to overvalue it, and you don't need to just look at, like, you don't need to just always pick the highest money line pitchers. There's plenty of times where we have not chosen the highest money line pitchers because the other pieces just didn't line up, just because they pitch for a good team or whatever. And that was really what was inflating it, and their other peripherals weren't enough to overcome the fact that they were big favorites. But that those other, like when Kluber, Sale, and Scherzer, who are kind of all the same-ish, right? And when you take away that one piece.
I mean, Sale definitely, I mean, especially based on the recent stuff with Sale, you know, particularly the incredible innings limits and the pitch count in general, I would say he's the safest of that next group.
Yeah, 120.
And, you know, I think he might wind up being as owned as Scherzer in cash games, just based on the fact that this is a repeat start against the Royals, and he just completely soul-crushed them the last time out.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. This might be the last thing we talk about pitchers, but so right now, going the same way we went with Felix, right now for Sale, we have at the total innings.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this. 6.
Right, 6.7. Yeah. Actually, that's probably correct. That's a lot. That's a fair amount of innings for a starting pitcher. It's really hard to lock a guy in for like seven innings on his average start. So although Sale is really
not for Sale,
yeah, I know. His pitch counts are insane. Like, what are the White Sox doing? Like 120 pitches for this guy every single time. Like, I
don't know. I think that winds up being low. You go back through June and he's higher than seven innings per start. I think that number is probably going to come up, and it'll make him the highest innings guy in the system probably. But that just looks correct. I mean, he's in the one teens, touching 120. Like,
well,
with
hey,
some frequency.
Guess what? When you're 13 games out of the Central, what you should do is just take your ace and just run his arm into the ground.
Not everyone's as jaded as you, Doug. They think about those fans out there. You know, they want to go. They're going into Kansas City. They want to show them what White Sox baseball is all about.
They can still pitch him for seven innings. They still get their Sale fill. You don't need to just have his arm fall off before the end of the season. Let's talk about the bats here. We obviously have a game in Coors. The run line on that game is insane, which is what happens when you have Christian Friedrich show up against the Rockies in Coors. Right now, the implied runs for the Rockies are just a shade under seven. It'd be shocking to me if it went higher than that, but I mean, seven is, well, it's like 6.76 right now, which is about as high
completely
as
unheard of.
Right, it's about as high as you're ever going to see for a game. Is this where you are? Is this run line so high that you feel almost obligated to start three, maybe four Rockies bats if you can fit them in? It might be tough, but are you just looking to lock in as many of these guys as possible?
I mean, absolutely. Arenado in particular, I don't really even totally know what's going on here. Like, Arenado's 3,800.
Yeah, that's
on
stupid.
This is broken, right? Yeah. He'll be owned in 100% of lineups, would be my suspicion. It's one of those plays that's like so easy that it feels like anyone who doesn't play him in cash games is paying the rake. And it might only be like 5% tonight. I don't know. I'm just surprised to see a price so low in Coors. I don't get it. I feel like they're, like a lot of us, thinking about football more, more than baseball right now.
Well, that could be it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There is some legitimacy to an idea like that the pricing is getting way soft here because FanDuel especially, because there's maybe some new football money in there. And you want the decisions to be a little easier. Like, they don't really care if we just all swap rake around, or if everyone, you know, if a guy like Arenado is I don't know, 90% start. Like, what? They don't care, really. And if the new money has come in, the baseball contests have actually gone a different direction. They haven't been as big. They've actually been smaller since football season started. I thought that it was going to sort of go the other way, but
historically, yeah, it's a kind of interesting
thing. Yeah, not such a great sign. But the contests in general have been a little bit smaller, and a guy like Arenado being priced at $3,800. I mean, I want to say it's a mistake, but I kind of just think it's just like, Arenado at 3,800, Harper at 3,700, I mean, Jose Bautista at 3,600. I mean, these are like all-star teams you're rostering with Scherzer, right? So it's not even like, yeah. It's not even like you're making some crazy decision. There's a couple losers thrown into our optimal lineup right now, which will probably change, but I don't know, man. These pricings just seem dumb. And like, it's just kind of like, yep. Like, what's the point? Not what's the point, because there will be a certain percentage of people that don't play Arenado, and bats are highly variable, so you can just get a zero from a guy for sure. And
well, then this is a good time to bring up why it's so important to use a lineup optimizer in particular. Like, in case you're not a DFSR historian, you don't know that it wasn't until about a year ago that we even instituted this ability to click calculate and create optimal lineups, because, you know, from where we sat, we figured that a lot of times what the user likes to do is build and construct, and that's like where the fun comes, and then they can take more ownership of their results. And that there were a lot of positives to just getting the projections and then letting the users mix and match. But what we found was, actually, when we met Blake, who's one of our partners now, he pointed out that on a given night there's like trillions of possibilities for right. a given, like on a full slate of baseball, and given trillions of possible permutations for your lineup, hitting the best one is really, really hard. And so, yeah, like, I think a lot of casual players will look at this and say, like, all right, I got my guys I'm gonna play, definitely Arenado, definitely, you know, this guy or that guy, Harper and Bautista. Who else should be on this team? And that's where it falls apart, because they try to mix and match and they're running out of time. I mean, you remember that feeling from when we used to have to do that.
Well, and also we had the ability to like run. So this is the other thing too. We had the ability to run one optimal lineup, right? Like, we had just like basic. I mean, James and I are not like, you know, we're numbers guys, but we're not, you know, data specialists in the sense that we don't like know computer programming and stuff. But Blake does. And so what Blake has figured out is not only, so a lot of people can figure out the way to do one. It's the way to do 1 through 50 or 1 through 100 that is very difficult.
Because do it in 10, 4 seconds.
Exactly. And so what you really see when you can run multiple ones is the every, you know, we kind of joke about like, or we just kind of say it in passing, the every lineup guys, right? But the other way the optimizer works is it shows you is like, no, these are the pieces that you should move around. You know, the guys like Arenado, do not move this guy, right? Like, this guy is the guy to not move. It's the, you know, this maybe, you know, if you look at our lineups right now, it's basically saying, like, just find the next cheapest shortstop you can find. And, like, it doesn't matter if he's a loser, he just needs to be playing, and just kind of slot him in, because in this case, it makes no sense to pay for anyone at shortstop. And that's kind of what it's doing around. And so that's where the optimal lineup works, is that you can. A lot of people could probably figure out a way to get the number one. It's number 20 that's hard. But having that many iterations shows you about what pieces should be moving around and what should not. And so a guy like Arenado tonight is just that guy that just should not. And there's a couple other examples of this. But yeah, so it's why you need to have a system, and it's why you need to look at what the system is telling you about certain players to know about what mistakes not to make, about like, because like, I know one thing that users love to do is, I don't like this guy, X him, right? Like, this lineup looks great when I X player, you know, well, it's usually like, when I X Harper, this lineup looks great. That's usually the one we hear. But I just really caution against that, because I'm like, the numbers are telling us something, it's kind of real. Maybe this is not what you want to do. Baseball can prove you right a lot of times like that, in places you would have been wrong. But yeah, this is why it's good to have a system, and it's good to be able to run these things as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those things that's sort of a hidden edge in fantasy. I think a lot of people think the value of calculating optimal lineups is saving time. And in reality, there's so many different ways you can interface with the tool that will give you a much better result. So I think learning lessons from the tool and figuring out, you know, where to make your changes, all that stuff is spot on.
And one more point about that, which I know I went on forever about this, but is that people will look at the pro level players and look at and say, you know, these guys are, there's an easy way to convince yourself, oh, these guys, the reason these guys win, or girls, but it's mostly guys.
They enter 100 lineups.
They're getting every combination of every guy that you can have. That's just not the case, right? Like you said at the beginning, there's trillions of combinations. That's not what these guys are doing. They're picking a certain theme or a core, and they're iterating off of that. Like, so they're not like, now here's my Arenado lineup. Here's my not Arenado lineup. You know, like, they're not doing that. Like, they're taking the set amount of players that they want, the set core or theme that they want, and they're iterating around that. And that kind of, you know, being able to toggle in that kind of system is the key. So don't think that, you know, just because the guy's running 500 lineups, that he's running just like sort of 500 lineups willy-nilly. You're going to see tons of overlap. Like, you might see a lineup where, you know, if you were to look at all 500 of these guys' lineup, you might see Arenado in 95% of them, and that's correct. So I just want to really caution people against, say, like, looking at these mass entry guys and thinking that they're winning because they have the ability to play every single combination in the world. No. Like Blake has said, there are trillions, right? So they're picking themes, they're picking the best points per dollar, or picking, you know, the best pivots, and away you go. After cores, where, I mean, and really, unless there's a dramatic run line change, which I don't think there's going to be, I really think we're going to be seeing as much as possible from that game on the Colorado side of things. After that game, though, where else can we look in terms of maybe sliding in some value bats? Is there another team that kind of jumps out to the top? Like, where are we looking after the Rockies?
Well, after the Rockies, I think the Red Sox are a nice natural place to look next. They've got Luis Sisa, and they're playing at home. And I think that, you know, Sisa's been a guy that has done a decent job of at least controlling the ball, which a lot of young pitchers struggle with. But, you know, the K rate's so low that he's basically throwing batting practice out there. I think that all those guys are ownable. Again, to the pricing and efficiency point, though, like, David Ortiz is more expensive than Nolan Arenado. So, you know, I don't get it. This is my, if you can't hear my puzzled tone, I'm not a broadcast professional necessarily.
Well, in the same game.
I just don't understand.
In so. The same game, Yengervis Solarte is more expensive than Arenado. Like, Solarte gets priced climbed to 3,900 at third base in the same game. So he gets the Coors bump. Arenado does. He's 100 more. Like, what? I mean, whatever. Okay. The
Red Sox would not play Yengervis Solarte over Nolan Arenado at a higher price point against a better pitcher. That's just me personally.
Sure.
Although, frankly, a lot of people, that's probably the way a lot of people think. And if you just want to go crazy and, you know, go off board for a big tournament and hope Arenado just hits line drives, you know, directly into people's gloves and their eyes are closed, like in a movie or something, then go for it. But yeah, so anyway, I'm sorry. I don't want to keep going back to the Coors game, but it's truly bizarre how bad that run line is, and or how bad that run line is compared to how bad the pricing is. After that, the Red Sox I do like quite a bit for safety purposes. One team I'm looking at for stacks for big tournaments, and this might be, you know, make your stomach hurt to hear it at first, but please bear with me, are the Mets. I don't know if you
doesn't make
if
my
you
stomach
like
hurt
playing the Mets, but Jose Berrios has been either the unluckiest pitcher ever or maybe the worst. It's really hard to say, but the man has pitched 44 innings in the major leagues this season. Have you looked at Berrios' ERA?
No,
recently?
I'm not going to look it up right now, so just hit me with it.
Do you have – let me – give me a guess.
I mean, you said he's bad, so I'm going to say 6.25.
9.25. He's given up more earned runs than innings pitched in 44 innings in the majors this year. I mean, that's just not – that is not done. That is not seen. I mean, and listen, and yes, you're sure you could be like, hey, man, BABIP, this guy's having problems. But let's see here. So he went 2 innings against the Astros, 8 hits. So that's not excellent. 4 innings, 5 hits, 5, 6, 5 innings, 9 hits, 2 innings, 3 hits, 4 walks pulled. I mean, he might be the worst pitcher of the day, and he's in the argument for one of the worst going in the majors right now. So that's going to be a game. It doesn't have a huge, huge total. The Mets are not a great lineup, obviously, but you have to remember these guys are major league hitters, and they all had 850, 900 OPSs in the minors. Berrios is a minor league pitcher, so this could be an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah, if you look at his xFIP, like, you're like, oh, he's running super bad. Well, he's running four runs worse off that, but he's still a 5.3 xFIP guy, which is still about as bad as it gets for
still
a guy.
He's still probably the worst pitcher on the slate.
Definitely.
XFIP, even if you don't give him the 9 ERA.
The Mets have Vegas sees that. Mets have an implied run line sort of up and around 5, which is, you know, clearly less than the Coors guys or the Red Sox, but maybe the third or fourth highest on the day going in. So, yeah, no, I think I'm with you. That doesn't make my stomach hurt. The Mets are a weird team. It's kind of hard to pick out where exactly you want to go with the bats from them. You need to sort of see the lineup that they're going to put together. It doesn't strike me as sexy, but I like it from a tournament upside piece.
Yeah, it's definitely not sexy. And I should say, too, like, when I call it a tournament play, Berrios is a guy with real pedigree. Like, he's put up big strikeout numbers in the minors. So it's not like an absolute slam dunk or anything, and that's why we're not recommending them as wholeheartedly for cash game purposes. But yeah, he could definitely just completely blow up, and the Mets could outscore the Rockies today. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
One team I don't mind going off board with a little bit is the Dodgers against Greinke. The Dodgers still have the great park. Greinke has just not really been that good over the short term. The strikeouts are way, way down. Only three and six innings last game against the Giants, who admittedly don't strike out a ton. He did strike out six, but he only lasted four innings since the last time he played the Dodgers. So Greinke just doesn't strike
in LA.
Me. Yeah, he just isn't like a guy that I'm worried about. I wouldn't do it in a cash game standpoint because there's just better options, and Greinke does have he's still Greinke. He could still go out there and just go six innings with a K per inning and be fine. But the Dodgers are coming off a day where they were sort of heavily owned and just didn't really totally perform in Chase last night, and so that's probably still fresh in people's minds. I don't mind going with them in a slightly worse matchup, and I just don't think anyone's going to play them. And they still have the park in their favor, and just this is not the Zach Greinke that I think we – this is not like, 2013 Greinke for sure.
Well, I mean, it's not pre-injury this season Greinke, right? I mean, Greinke was pretty decent before going down and missing all of July. And since then, he's just been pretty literally a crime against humanity on the mound. I mean, he's got a 9 earned run start and an 8 earned run start. That's just completely ridiculous. His worst non-core start prior to that this season was like 4 earned runs. So to me, just not the same guy. They probably rushed him back for, God knows what reason, given the amount of money they invested in
him. Well, the Diamondbacks are stupid. We've been down this road many, many times.
Could they be stupider? I mean, really, he's a first year of a 6-year, $200 million contract, and you're going to rush him back from injury when he's clearly not ready? It's an absolute embarrassment, and I guess you get what you serve yourself, but yeah, I like that stack quite a bit. And actually, while we're just stacking and cracking, I also like the Blue Jays. Blue Jays, that would probably not be under-owned. I mean, we talked about Bautista. It's not big news to anyone that Jared Weaver is terrible, but even getting away from their great home park, Weaver is another one of those guys where he's kind of matchup-proof in that he just doesn't do anything. 90 strikeouts and 161 innings means that he's just hoping the ball finds gloves when it goes slamming off the bat. And the Blue Jays, whatever they call those guys.
That's how you pluralize Blue Jays. So
the Blue Jays, the Blue Jays guys. They're, when they hit it really hard, it doesn't go into gloves. It goes over the fence. So they're definitely an onboard stack. A lot of good stack options. I think it's kind of a fun slate. And actually, it kind of makes me like that Mets stack even more, given how many sort of high-profile public-level teams like the Blue Jays, Red Sox, Dodgers are the other good stacks. The Mets just kind of being like the unexciting baby brother of all those things.
And you're just going to get naturally low ownership anyway because of the game in Coors, because that game will be so heavily owned. So you're just going – it's just going to trend ownership levels for every other team lower than a normal night because that run line is just so crazy. And just that's not a piece of news that escapes people. All right, I think we covered it. That's pretty much it for us today. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com. You head over. You can grab grab all the free content that you really want. We have stacks, pitchers, our main picks articles. Also, a ton of NFL content up there for week 2 coming up in just 2 days. And there's still a couple more days to grab a free trial of our projection system powered by Lineup Lab that helps you one-button click optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, both for baseball and for football. That's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And that free trial is going to be over in the next couple days, so make sure you get on it, buddy. I will talk to you again for Baseball Monday, and I'm going to talk to you about it for football in about 30 seconds.
In literally minutes.
Later. Mm-hmm.